The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Hump Day edition. My little buddy joining right now, and we got John Nichols joining at 4:30 from the Nation, the Cap Times. We know him. We love him. I mean, John, not so much you, Dom.
Come on, man. Happy Hump Day, Crute. Nice to see you. Of course, Rich on the board working hard. Thank you, our fair audience, joining the political party. Always a good time.
Dom, I had a few things going on today, but I found myself at home for a bit watching the Foxy News. And a couple of things jumped out at me. One, a tarmac press conference, impromptu style, President Donald Trump. And two,
former President Donald Trump.
Yeah, thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that. Always love it. Yeah. And two, then Trump went to a Chick-fil-A and bought milkshakes for everybody, or maybe just himself. Do you see that news?
I did not.
Here is how it's being reported at the Post. Very important news, Tom.
Yeah, breaking.
Donald Trump traveled to Atlanta on Wednesday for a campaign fundraiser. He stopped at a Chick-fil-A in Vine City, a predominantly black neighborhood where the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. once lived. The former president approached the registers, gestured to a fast food worker's nose ring, and said, "I love those." I never would have guessed Donald Trump would be pro-nose ring. Trump said, according to a C-SPAN video of his visit, "That's beautiful. Wow. It's art." And reportedly, he had the milkshake, Dom.
Brings all the boys to the yard, I guess. Just one milkshake? Extra large?
Did he pay Didn't for say it? One scoop or two. I don't have any cash on me. One of the Secret Service guys is going to have to... Gonna have to pay you. I'm good for it though. I'll give you a bond. So I watched this impromptu press conference, and first and foremost, when it started, I had the MSNBC on, and they broke away from this press conference almost immediately, within a minute or two. You know, they acknowledged that Trump was speaking, and then he started BSing a bit, Dom. The big lie. It's never far from his lips, from the topic of the day.
No, man.
And we're going to talk about the big event they got planned for Friday, Dom. Apparently a show of strength. MAGA Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, over the protestations of Marjorie Taylor Greene, who thought she was Trump's bestie. But apparently Trump and MAGA Mike are going to have a press conference on Friday on the topic of election integrity.
The two guys that literally did more than most to try to actually overturn the last election are going to get in front of the
camera. I would say more than nearly anyone ever has in the history of our country, Dom. They're right on the cutting edge of, let's just say, the insurrectionist acts.
Well, I mean, and these are the folks that are going to lecture us about election integrity. I guess if you want to talk about, you know, the pitfalls of cocaine use and import and sale, you know, Scarface may be the guy, Al Pacino, to come out and talk about it. I mean, give me a break. These guys are the ones who put this lie out there, who put the wheels in motion to overturn the election. And now they're gonna get together and be very strong bonding brothers and lecture us about what? What exactly? You're gonna do it again. You're not gonna do it again. It's not just him, man. The RNC is out as well. Lara Trump. They're all pushing the lie all the way down from them down to Eric Hovde here in the state of Wisconsin.
He's very, very concerned about the soon-to-be dead nursing home residents. 4 months stops, shouldn't get a vote. That's the Eric Hovde, the recent statement. Maybe we'll replay that one for old time's sake, Dom. You know, keep the recent news fresh in your mind. Former President Donald Trump said Wednesday, and this is what I took note of, that the Arizona Supreme Court went too far in recently ruling in favor of a near total abortion ban, and later said he would not sign a federal bill banning the procedure. And I don't believe him, not for a minute.
No, man, I don't believe anything that guy
said. Because as he's going through this, he's basically saying, I did this. I heard him say it again. You know, if I saw it last night in a Joe Biden campaign commercial on CBS, but basically heard Trump bragging again. You know, Roe v. Wade, I did that. I put those judges on the court. And this is what was supposed to happen. And it's supposed to go back to the states. And I didn't see, and I got to tell you, I didn't think that the objection to the Arizona Supreme Court ruling was the big part. The big part is effectively, well, if you won't sign a national abortion ban, but there's certainly not going to be a basement on this either. And my understanding is they're more than willing to let red states go out and put these draconian laws forward through it, litigation or legislation. They're all down for this, Dom.
Of course.
So the fact that he's not going to sign an unpopular national abortion ban, or at least so he would claim, he's also, once again, calling election day November 5th. It's going to be the most important day in this country's history. And it is a national Christian day of visibility. I mean, talking about trying to pander to the base, man, this guy is saying it's like the next coming of Jesus Day. You better be there. It's the rapture.
A national vote for me. Christian day of visibility.
Declared it. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I think he's trying, you know, because what was it? Easter fell on March 31st. That happened to be the same day as Transsexual Day of Visibility. Well, this is his counter protest of sorts. You know, Christians stand up on election day on November 5th.
Is have it both ways, because of course he's losing the folks like former Vice President Pence. He's losing
for not being anti-abortion enough.
For not being anti-abortion enough, and there's some other folks. A chair from. Let me just pull this up here real quick. Lizzie Marbach, a former director of communications at Ohio Right to Life, also worked for the Ohio GOP and Trump's 2020 campaign. Well, she's of course crazy about this. Did Arizona go too far? Trump replies, "says Yeah, they did. It'll be straightened out." As you know, it's all about states' rights. It'll be straightened out. I'm sure the governor and everyone else are going to bring it back to within reason. And now Murdoch, Lizzie, she wasn't having it. This is it. I'm out. Trump has officially lost my vote. No sincere Christians can vote for Trump while he is now openly and boldly advocating for abortion. This is not a matter of Christian liberty anymore. It's sinful to vote for the man. So he's losing him on the right. He's losing him on the left. He's just a loser, Rudy.
Dominic, on Monday, Trump issued a video statement in which he said it should be up to the states to decide their abortion policy. But what happens then, even by your own admission, when Arizona goes too far? Well, it'll get straightened out. How does that work? Because you say it's going to happen? I mean, there's no...
So let it be written, so let it be done.
There is no appetite amongst the Republican leaders of Arizona's legislature to change this. I mean, Katie Hobbs wants it changed. She's the governor there. But these Republicans, this is exactly as they intended. And the only way you're going to have reproductive rights, abortive rights in the state of Arizona is if it's passed by a referendum, which apparently will be on the ballot this November, as you first pointed out to me yesterday, Dom. You broke news to me, fella.
Yeah, see, so Trump wants it both ways, and they also recognize this is an electoral loser. the majority of people in this country want women to have the availability, if they choose to do so, to have an abortion. Folks, you don't like abortion, don't have them. You don't like gay marriage, don't get gay married. You know, we talk about this all the time. What is it about their perception of how the world is that they got to jam down our throats? People don't want that, man.
I thought Republicans were about freedom. What about personal freedoms for women? Are they not considered in your measures of freedom? Their freedom?
The whole national abortion ban or the patchwork thing. We talked briefly about this yesterday, and it still bothers me. I mean, it's not like, you know, interracial marriage is legal in one state and not in another. You know, some things are just kind of uniform. You know, you got
didn't
the
they
right
try
to
that with slavery once upon a time? Like, if you lived up north, it was frowned upon, but down south, we're okay with it.
Yeah.
Right. We tried that for a while, and then it kind of tore the nation apart.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't seem to really work. How does someone have the right in one state and not the right in the other? These are universal rights, period. And if men got pregnant, men would have an abortion. It wouldn't be an issue.
I think I pointed out yesterday, Dom, I think that this, because of the timing circumstance, again and again, I think this will be a defining issue of the elective cycle. Now, over on the Foxy News, Dom, because I had to flip over to Fox News to hear the continuation of the lies from the former president, and he was walking a rope line. It was kind of loud. Not all the sound good. We're not going to make you eat your jet engine covered broccoli today. Not as tasty that way, but anyways, it was amazing to me. And I even said this to my wife. She stopped home for lunch. I said, you know, it's really hard for me to watch Fox News, at least this Faulkner reports. I've been on Fox News enough times. Mike Emanuel, to his credit, when I used to appear primarily on Sundays on their Sunday show, at least he'd let me get two sentences in before he'd jump all over me. You know, he'd let me make a point and then he'd pound it. Pound, pound, pound. Trump can do no wrong, according to Faulkner. And when she'd have a guest on, I mean, if you're spouting pro-Trump love, Trump makes the best milkshakes. You get like 3 minutes to explain why Trump is the best milkshake maker ever. But there was a specific guest on, and Trump was out there pounding the Jewish people. How the Jewish people could be so self-loathing and vote Democrat. I mean, he's trying this again today.
If you vote for Democrats and you're Jewish, you hate your religion and you hate your country and you hate Israel. It's basically what he said.
Now, when one of the guests, a Democratic-centric guest, tried to point out the number of anti-Semitic statements made by Trump, she didn't get out three words before Faulkner just pounded, 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 just spoke all over the top of her, was not going to let that fact get out there for the consumption of the Fox News viewer. I mean, it's to the point, it's hard to even get facts on Fox News.
Do they even do that?
Come back. They're fair and balanced, just like us. More devils.
Charged. Never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Thank you, Rich. You know, scratching that itch, baby. Curdy, the lies on Fox News, the lies from Hovde, the lies from Lara Trump and the RNC, the lies, man. I'm just so damn tired of it. And now we've gone international, man. The jackassery of Wisconsin senatorial candidate Hovde, it's reported on the Indy, the independent.co.uk. They picked this up. Hey, sorry, Rich, you still have that Hovde sound from the other day? Give me the thumbs up when you're ready for that. As noted here, Trump-endorsed Senate candidate claims nursing home residents shouldn't be able to vote. Let's hear what Hovde has to say, please, Rich.
I'm not going to spend my time talking about 2020. Do I believe the election was stolen? No, but did things happen in that election that were very troublesome? Absolutely. And I can point them out right here in Wisconsin. We had Zuckerbucks come into Democratic cities in a big way to push out, working with cities to push out Democratic votes. We had nursing homes where the sheriff of Racine investigated, where you had 100% voting in nursing homes. Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
I would say his candidacy would be likely to have a 5 or 6 month shelf life right about now, Dom?
According to factcheck.org, voter turnout from nursing homes in Wisconsin in the 2020 election was actually nowhere near 100%, like Hovde claimed, and was not out of the ordinary. Instead, turnout in nursing homes in Milwaukee County, my county, was actually around 76%. Meanwhile, a review of 2020 poll books in Dane County by the Wisconsin State Journal found just one nursing home in the state had a 100% voter turnout, Crudy. It's there. There's one.
That's one. Here's Dan O'Donnell must have been pointing at when he was giving his exclusive assembly committee, elections committee testimony in an invited locked capital when he claimed there's rampant fraud because grandma voted for Biden.
100%. But that particular nursing home had just 12 registered voters. And while turnout in other facilities ranged from 42% to 91%, Milwaukee Election Commissioner Director Claire Woodall-Vogue said this rate of voter participation is very normal and nothing alarming. Well, there's nothing alarming unless you're a senatorial candidate trying to take down Tammy Baldwin and you get the talking point from your buddy Trump. The lies, the lies, the lies. You had 100% in Dane County. You know, Dane County's pretty dialed in, man. Dane County has saved the state of Wisconsin in more ways than
you're welcome. Over the course of
several elections. Thank you, Dane County. And to think that there'd be 12 people in a nursing home that maybe were, you know, politically active when they were younger are still politically active. 12.
Oh, we're not 12 dead yet.
100%. It's just, how do you deal with it? We had this conversation yesterday, right? What do we do? What's the point? How do we overcome the lies? And then just one more, if I may, Crudy, indulge me. The RNC from CNN reporting, the RNC last week sent out a scripted call to voters' phones on behalf of the new chair, Lara Trump, saying Democrats committed massive fraud in the 2020 election. The latest example of how the RNC under the former president's daughter-in-law is perpetuating lies about the 2020 election, even as prominent Republicans say the party needs to look forward to winning 2024. Here's a quote from the RNC call. We all know the problems. No photo IDs, false. Unsecured ballot drop boxes, false. Mass mailing of ballots. The voter rolls chock full of deceased people and non-citizens are just a few examples of the massive voter fraud that took place. If Democrats have their way, your vote could be canceled out by someone who isn't even an American citizen. I mean, what? I'm supposed to be nice? We're not supposed to call names. We're supposed to meet in the middle for a bunch of folks that are gaslighting the American people, scaring them, lying to them, when it was actually them and their efforts and Mega Mike and Trump are going to speak on Friday on voter integrity? What? Election integrity? Can anyone take any of this seriously?
Tom, I'm a little concerned. You're popping a vein.
Yeah. Okay, Johnson.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. And Dom, you're speaking my language right now. I mean, we have to confront these guys with every lie they tell. I mean, if I went to a Hovde event and I was spouting this stuff, I'd actually get up and say something about it and say, damn be the consequences. And I'd say, you know, if you guys want to start pounding on me for saying this, I just could come out and say, you are actually lying there, sir. And you know damn well that you're lying. And these people know that they're being lied to. And maybe they don't know they're being lied to.
I'm saying, man.
All they're fed is this constant barrage of falsehoods and half-truths. And the whole thing, in the Ten Commandments, it's not thou shalt not lie. It's thou shalt not bear false witness. And you twist facts around to bear false witness. The whole point is you're supposed to speak honestly. That's what you're supposed to be all about. And this guy is, you know, that I'd say, you know, that I'd ask him, aren't you afraid of going to hell for telling them for bearing false witness here, sir? I mean, it is just, it's beyond me how these guys, you know, God, I wish God had just a bolt of lightning had come down and just hit him on the top of the head.
Smite us all.
You know, I've never been afraid of the threat that I'm going to go to hell, Dom, because I figured that's where you and all my friends will be at.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Nice thing about the Christianity, though, you know, you can just ask for forgiveness, apparently, and all is well. Go and keep on going about your daily lives.
I intend to send right to the last. And then with my last breath.
What if you don't get a last breath, man?
I mean, ask well, Jesus for forgiveness. No, I've recorded it on my phone so I can just play it. Just that last, over and over again. My last breath. Please forgive all my sins. Thank you in advance.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You know, we got fine guests joining us very soon, Dom. John Nichols from The Nation, from The Cap Times. You see his most recent piece over at The Cap Times?
He does fine work. Yeah, man. Well, he's the guy.
John has been lecturing at Yale University. That's what he was doing earlier this week. I actually invited him on a little bit.
Lacrosse instead.
Well, I felt like saying, you know, I spoke to a high school class once. I've never been invited to lecture at Yale. John, a more esteemed academic than I. He's written more books. Like, by more, I mean more than zero. Yeah. I got a book in me. I will have one book before I die. Or I will ask Jesus to forgive this lie I've told you, this bearing a false witness, when I promised you a book, and I go to my grave, and I just say, hey, Jesus, sorry, man, another one. Well, just forgive that sin for me, would you?
If you believe it, it's not a lie.
I believe it could be true. Yeah. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's Dom. I'm Crudy. That's Rich. He's lightly screening your calls. But hold on a minute. We've got a fine guest. He's joining us next. He is John Nichols from The Nation, from The Cap Times. He's a friend of ours. You're going to want to stick around. His latest, and this won't be the only topic for conversation, you know, how's the weather at Yale? That could be conversation worthy, Dom, but his latest at The Cap Times. Biden had a much better Wisconsin primary than Trump did. Ooh. Yeah, he did. A hell of a lot better. Come back. More Devil's Advocates with John Nichols, our good friend.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. An eagerly anticipated guest coming soon, I would hope. John Nichols, a traveling day. Maybe he's on an airplane still, maybe a delayed flight. Although I thought the weather glorious across the eastern United States. He should be here now. But anyways, you know, John's an old friend. We'll forgive and forget. But Dom, I got to tell you, today, watching this Trump presser, I have never seen sort of the animus against one's political opponent just front and center. I mean, there was no touchy-feely. There was no my opponent says and I disagree. Here, let me just share a little email I got from the Trump campaign. Trump responds to dishonest Joe Biden and his campaign. And apparently the issue is abortion. So here's the facts, according to Trump. If it's a day that ends in Y, dishonest Joe and his team are lying. Let's compare. President Trump could not have been more clear. These decisions, I guess these are abortive decisions, should be left to the states to determine by vote, or legislation, or perhaps both, you know, like Arizona. Although you didn't like the outcome in Arizona, that's also part of the complexity of the issue and your ever-changing stance on abortion. But anyways, back to the Trump facts, if you will, Dom. Again, he couldn't have been more clear, he claims. Dishonest Joe's position is also clear. He supports aborting an unborn child up until the moment of birth and even after birth.
Yeah, okay.
Joe's down for post-birth murder. You know, that's apparently
murder.
If you believe Trump's email missive, that's the policy of his opponent.
That's not a thing. That's murder. That doesn't happen.
Oh, Dom, and he also wants to make the American taxpayers pay for the murder, the post-birth abortion. Joe Biden is weak and a failed president whose agenda is radically out of touch with the majority of Americans. Have you checked your stance on abortion lately? Whether on the issue of abortion, his open border bloodbath, migrant crime, fentanyl overdoses, rising cost of living, and out-of-control cost of groceries, the Biden misery index is so high that voters are ready to send him packing in November. So, anyways, it was very, you know, bloody knuckled. There was no holding back. It was pretty much just blast the dude. Accuse your opponent of being the worst, most horrible sort of human being. He murders babies. That's literally what this email says. Joe Biden wants to murder babies post-birth. Believe me, that's the truth, right? That's Trump's truth, or
yes,
so he would tell his followers.
Okay, he just did.
But Trump's got such an evolving stance on the abortion issues. His followers, if you had 10 conservative callers in a row, Dom, they could not describe Trump's position on the abortion issue. Not accurately and consistently, because Trump can't be trusted from minute to minute on this topic.
Well, Trump can't describe it accurately and consistently himself. So you certainly can't assume that the cult followers are going to be able to do so.
Kind of like his net worth, it changes with his mood, Dom.
Yeah,
but his mood's bad. His net worth has been off.
DJT keeps going south, baby.
Do you see Forbes, like a week after they listed him on the billionaire list as a rising star with the stock value of the Truthy Social? Do you see he's been delisted now? Oh, he's fallen. Yep. He's not even on the billionaire list anymore. Understanding.
He is now, according to what I read today, the 666th richest man in the world. I mean, if we're going to say that there's a sign from earthquakes on the East Coast and the moon blocking out the sun and an eclipse in North America is a sign, wouldn't your guy being listed 666 as most wealthiest guy in the world be a sign? Just asking for Marjorie Taylor Greene. 844-967-2789.
I've seen a number of, some would say troubling headlines. I would call a few of them hilarious. Here's an example. Our good friend, James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Hashtag James Santel, because he shared this article with us. Mediatouch.com. I don't usually source there. But in this article, Trump's legal team. He hires nothing but the best lawyers. And
the best.
Since we've been on the air, Dom, my understanding, Trump's third attempt to have his Monday trial date delayed has been refused. Game on.
Already. Wow. What's that? One on Monday, strike one on Tuesday, three. One on Wednesday?
Strike three.
Let's throw another one out there tomorrow.
Well, anyways, along the same line, Trump's crack legal team apparently subpoenaed the wrong guy. And the subheadline says, this is embarrassing.
No, really?
A seemingly amateurish move by Donald Trump's legal team was put on full display following an April 8th filing with the Manhattan DA. In a bizarre turn of events, Trump's lawyers apparently subpoenaed the wrong individual for records pertinent to his criminal trial, which begins on Monday, April 15th in New York, Dom. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office revealed that Trump's legal team sought records from a certain Jeremy Rosenberg, an ex-DA investigator. However, it turns out that they targeted the wrong Jeremy Rosenberg. The actual individual, upon being contacted by Trump's attorney, bluntly stated, I don't have any files for you, before cheekily adding to the postscript, I'm keeping the $15 in witness travel fees. Yeah. They must have prepaid. So he sent, you know, basically a little one-liner, and the email is literally
for you. I don't. Here's the response from the wrong Jeremy to Trump's crack legal team, Todd Blanche. I don't have any files for you. Sincerely, Jeremy. P.S. The phone number you provided is disconnected. P.P.S. I'm keeping the $15. I mean, not only do you you lose the $15. Now you're gonna have to charge that to Trump, right? That's gonna be Trump's $15. I'm sure he's gonna love that.
Well, he's gonna pass that on to the donors, Dom. Right.
Then you don't have the right phone number or a disconnected phone number. What a maroon.
Dominic, the mix-up was highlighted in a letter from the Manhattan DA addressing Trump's request to enforce a subpoena against Jeremy Rosenberg. Now, if I'm understanding this, Dom, Trump's team still hasn't figured out the fact that they subpoenaed the wrong guy. And they're asking the judge to basically make him talk. The DA's response underscored the glaring error, pointing out that the person served with the subpoena had no connection to the case whatsoever, right? Mistaken identity. The letter also revealed the discrepancy in his service and the service details provided by Trump's legal team. The court filing was first reported by Frank Runyon, a New York court reporter on Law 360. But, and here's a huge but, Dom. Despite the obvious misunderstanding, Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, doubled down on the validity of the subpoena, citing legal statutes and emphasizing the importance of obtaining the requested documents. The attorney, seemingly unaware that he'd apparently subpoenaed a random individual, described the response he received from the unrelated Rosenberg as flippant and dismissive.
And rightfully so.
Blanche's response seemed to downplay the gravity of the error, focusing instead on the necessity of a subpoena and ensuring Trump's access to the pertinent communications. However, his insistence on pursuing the subpoena only served to highlight the ineptitude of Trump's legal team in this instance. Well, never.
This and many other instances.
We got a fine guest joining us live via phone right now. He is John Nichols from The Nation, from The Cap Times, a traveling man. How you doing, John?
Hey, John.
I'm good, brother. Sorry to be coming in late. My apologies.
Dom comes in hot sometimes, too. Helicopters in for the show.
Okay, man. But he's a big star, you know.
Well, not everyone lectures in Cambridge, Massachusetts, John. I hear getting a flight back is terrible.
It was in New Haven. Oh. But the flight isn't, you got to go through Chicago so you can put the pieces that you want into that puzzle.
John, we're just glad you made it under any circumstance. I don't know if you've been seeing some of the recent, John, but I got to tell you, this has got to be the most bloody knuckled presidential campaign I've ever seen. And we're not even a summer yet, John. I mean, I saw Trump today on the tarmac in Atlanta doing an impromptu press conference. And I mean, basically, he's calling Joe Biden a baby murderer. That's his current position. He claims Biden's stance is post-birth abortion. And of course, we all know that's a lie. But John, I mean, he's just flinging it. And I think Biden often is responding in kind.
Yeah, I think you're about right. But remember that Trump this week softened his stance on abortion. So does that make him a partial baby murderer?
You know, he's had a moving target on this issue, has he not, John? I mean, Trump's hard to pin down on abortion.
If he's accusing Biden of stuff, when he softens his stance on it, isn't he kind of leaning into where Biden is at? And if that's the case, then, you know, I'm not sure he's got a lot of ground to stand on in attacking the president. But obviously, you're right at your core point, which is that this is already an ugly campaign. It's going to get a lot uglier. One of the reasons for that is that the people running the campaign know a simple reality, that no one in America, I shouldn't say no one, just about no one in America is overly excited about this race, right? They see two older guys that they already have had to deal with in the past, and, you know, there's just not a lot of enthusiasm. So the basic concept for both campaigns is to scare the hell out of people, right? To make them think that if they don't come vote for candidate A or candidate B, you know, the whole world is going to collapse. And so they've gone to that sort of language, and it may help in some senses with mobilization, but they both also do run the risk that people are just going to say, oh, you know, you're both right. The other guy's horrible. I don't like either of you. And they either don't vote or they start to explore third-party candidates.
John, let me ask you, the Arizona Supreme Court obviously made an unexpected ruling, at least I wasn't expecting it, to pop into the news cycle yesterday. And we know that this will be a ballot issue in Arizona in the fall, but they went with a very extreme abortion ban, turned the clock back to 1864. Reminds me of Wisconsin's current dilemma. But this is a big dilemma for Republicans, I think, John. The number of times their extremism on the issue of abortions being played out through headline after headline, I think, is got to be a rallying call for women and blue voters. John, am I wrong about that? Or is this the issue of the elective cycle currently?
No, that is the issue. And it's a very fascinating thing because, you know, back in 2022, when the Dobbs decision came down, people were saying, oh, you know, it's a big issue, but it's not going to be a big issue for long. It'll kind of die out. You know, people's attention span will go elsewhere, et cetera. That has not proven to be the case. There's simply no question that abortion rights remains a major mobilizing issue for the Democrats. There's a real question, is it enough? You know, and that is a factor. But there's no question that it's the best thing they've got right now. And it is one that clearly, from past pattern, mobilizes women, you're right, but also mobilizes young voters across the board, male and female. And that makes sense, right? I mean, they're in their point in their lives where these issues are very real, they matter to them a lot. And so I do think that having these ballot issues on the line in November in Arizona and in Florida, and frankly in several other states, is going to be very likely to the good for the Democrats. And, you know, it could even theoretically bring Florida into play. Now, Arizona is definitely going to be in play. There's no doubt of that. But the notion that a ballot issue could mobilize sufficient people to make Florida competitive is a fascinating development, and one that, you know, yeah, it bodes well for Biden in that regard.
John Nichols, your travel itinerary cuts us too short, man. We need more Nichols. Can you stick around for one more segment?
I'll give you a segment, brother.
All right. More John Nichols, more Devil's Advocate. Stick around. Dom, you may even get a question in.
All right.
844-967-2789. You know the number.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. John Nichols, our friend from the Cap Times and The Nation magazine, sticking around for one more segment. John, thank you for carving out some time for us today. Initially, wanted to have a conversation with you, your opinion piece, that Biden had a much better Wisconsin primary than Trump did. I'm curious, John, how did you come to that conclusion? What's your math?
Got to turn them on. Hold on, John. We'll get to you. There you are. Welcome, John.
There you go, John. Am I on?
You're on.
You're on.
I can hear you now.
There you go. I can hear you now, too. The answer to your question is pretty simple. Both the Democrats and Republicans had roughly the same level of turnout in their primaries, around 600,000 votes. The Republicans marginally more, but not enough to worry about. Biden faced a genuine challenge. He had the uninstructed campaign, which was really out there. You know, they were doing phone calls, mailings, rallies. They had endorsements from a number of legislators and local elected officials. So he clearly had some effort to get people to vote in another way. And Trump didn't have any of that. All of his opponents had withdrawn. There was no organized campaign against him whatsoever. So what happened? Biden got 89% of the Democratic vote. Trump got 79%, 78% of the Republican vote. And Biden actually got 35,000 more votes last Tuesday than Trump did. And so by any measure, if you just look at those two ballot lines, obviously it's not the same as a general election. Totally understand that. But if we are in a period where the point of elections is to mobilize your voters, to get them excited to come out and cast a ballot for you. Biden actually on primary day did better than Trump.
John, how impactful do you think the third party candidates will be in this case, Kennedy, going forward in this election?
Oh, I think they're impactful at this point. I mean, there's no doubt that the polling data shows that Kennedy is getting a decent number of votes. I mean, it varies a lot in the polls, but there's many polls in Wisconsin and elsewhere that have showed him at a double digit. And even if that collapses down substantially, when you think that Wisconsin is a state where four of the last six presidential elections have been decided by under 25,000 votes, the notion that you've got somebody who could peel off, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10% of the vote, and then another percentage or so, a few percentages going to Jill Stein, Cornel West, a Libertarian candidate, I think third-party candidates could play a real role. The complexity is that they don't play a predictable role. And one of the things that's really interesting about Kennedy is that he draws significantly from both Biden and from Trump. And so the real question is, what does Kennedy become as you get toward November? Is he a candidate who's kind of running more to the left and trying to draw from Biden? Or is he a candidate who, with his conspiracy theories, things like that, draws more from Trump? I can tell you at this point that the Trump people are kind of scared of Kennedy. They've shown signs of being concerned about him as an opponent. So we'll see where it plays. But there's no doubt that the third-party candidates are likely to be a factor, especially in Wisconsin.
Joe Biden was in glorious Madison, Wisconsin, just the other day, John. I had the opportunity to attend the rally, something of a newsworthy event, student loan debt relief. He's proposed another crack at it, a handful of qualifying criterion. John, do you think this is the sort of issue that galvanizes young people? I would take note of the fact there was also an anti-Palestinian policy, anti-Gaza protest group outside this rally at MATC in Madison, sort of contradictions in where the young people find each other. But John, what do you think about the debt relief? Good politics at this time?
Sure, debt relief is good politics. You know, getting rid of people's debt's always going to be something that people, that folks like. The question is whether the people believe it's going to happen, right? Because Biden has taken a couple whacks at this pinata and hasn't been able to knock it down. So it's certainly a good policy, certainly a good effort to make, not guaranteed to really move the kind of numbers that I think some Democrats would hope. I do think the issue you were talking about before, abortion rights, tends to move young people a lot. And that we saw in the Supreme Court race last year, other contests. And you are exactly right to bring up Gaza. The people who were protesting outside Biden's event on behalf of saving Gaza from the assault it's under, I mean, a lot of them are very passionate, a lot of them are very young. And I think the thing that you look for even more than a rally outside of an event is the numbers from the Democratic primary. And in the five wards, or five aldermanic districts that are around, in and around the UW campus, uninstructed, which is the vote of protest as regards Gaza policy, got around 30 to 35% of the vote. That's a lot of votes. And if Biden loses a third, if he were to lose a third of the student vote in Wisconsin, it'd be very, very hard for him to carry the state, I think. So, because students have really been a huge force in kind of putting Democrats over the top in the last few cycles. So Gaza is an issue. I'm not saying that that Biden would necessarily lose that much, but the numbers suggest a possibility there, and it's got to be something the Biden people are concerned about.
John Nichols, how do you think Trump's team has played this? Trump keeps coming out and bashing the Jewish people and saying no self-respecting Jew would ever vote for a Democrat. I'm not clear. This seems like it might be falling flat, if you know what I mean. He did it again at the airport in Atlanta, Georgia today. He was trying that same line, but effectively the protest against Joe Biden is not for his lack of support for Israel. That is the problem in the opinion of many. So, you know, anyway, Sean, your thought on that topic.
Yeah, this issue is going to pull you in a lot of directions. Traditionally, Jewish American voters have voted heavily Democratic in the 70 to 80% range. And polling doesn't suggest that there's going to be a big slippage there. Now, one thing to understand is that there are a lot of Jewish American voters who are very, very concerned about what's going on in Gaza, who don't like what Netanyahu's doing. So it's not, you know, like communities just fall into simple, pigeonholes, and you say, well, this is where these people are going to go, this is where those people are going to go. It doesn't really work like that. And so the way to understand it is that the Jewish American community is diverse. does tend to be Democratic. I don't imagine that a tremendous number of them are going to go over and vote for Donald Trump. Now, there is a possibility that some portion of folks just don't vote at the top of their ballot, you know, just are so frustrated or upset. This could happen with Muslim Americans and Jewish Americans. And that's something that both sides are going to have to deal with. But the one thing about Trump is that I think somebody who's concerned about Gaza and frankly, in general about Israel and Palestine, if you look at Trump's 4 years as president, there was very little that Trump did that actually improved relations.
John, got to cut you short. Always great to hear from John Nichols from The Nation, The Cap Times. We'll catch up real soon. A happier, happy hour. And your calls could be next. 844-96-PARTY. Thanks, John.